Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here in a quiet, for now, Bell Center. The first round of the draft has come to an end. And Mike, we expected chaos. We expected volatility. We expected unpredictability. And we got all of that.
We got all of that, Adam. It was outstanding. What a day. I mean, I'm glad I had my four or five cups of coffee before I came in here. We had trades. We had some surprises at the top that we're going to get into right away. But overall, we had a great time. It was just nice to be at a draft event that was live in person, looking at the floor, the GMs, the scouts, everyone milling around, the media members. It was an exciting day.
It was. It gave us everything we were hoping for, and it started right at the top. Yuri Slafkovsky, number one pick to the Montreal Canadiens. We had heard the rumors that he could be possible. Obviously, we thought it would be Shane Wright. But we heard, you know, Kent Hughes said on Monday it was down to three guys, Shane Wright, Slafkovsky, Logan Cooley, ends up being the big winger from Slovakia. Surprised?
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little bit surprised. I think coming into this, we expected the unexpected. And for Slafkovsky to go number one, I think it was kind of brewing in that, I don't know, that area where we all thought maybe Shane Wright would go one, but there was always that chance that Slafkovsky would slip in there because of the size of this kid, what he's done internationally, and what he's done in Finland the past 3 years since he's lived there. And look, this is a player that we feel could be playing in the NHL as soon as next year. Let's see how he does in training camp. He was all excited, all pumped up after he was chosen.
It was great, and we had the chance to catch up with Yuri after he was picked. So let's hear what Yuri had to say in his own words. Take me through the moment when you heard your name called.
So first of all, I would say I didn't even hear my name. I heard Slovakian, and then I checked up, and my face was on a camera, so I knew what's happening, and I got goosebumps, and my parents were crying, I think, and I don't even remember that I have to go through that all that again.
Who is here with you? Your parents, anyone else in your family?
Yeah, just my family and agent. And
was it a surprise to you to go number one?
Yeah, of course. Like, Shane was projected number one past, like, since I don't know, 4 years. So, yeah, of course. And I'm really happy for that.
When you're looking around Bell Center, before you heard your name called, did you think this could be me? I could be the guy these people are cheering for 6 months from now? Has it sunk in that this isn't just a one-off visit for you here. This is home for you now.
Yeah, I believed that it can be me, and I always believed that in some good results and in everything. So, yeah, why not? But I, of course, knew that there is other guys, other really good players and people. So, yeah.
Are you ready to come and be in the starting lineup opening night?
I will do everything in summer and prepare well that I can actually be the starting lineup.
You were sitting with Shane Wright in the stands. Yeah. When your name was called, did you both stand up? Did Shane? Yeah. What did Shane say to you?
Yeah, he congrats me and he shake my hand, and it just show how good man he is.
What's next for you? What's the thing you're going to focus on now when you leave here, when you go back home? What do you want to focus on?
Yeah, just getting better every day, and because first overall is something and you have to prove it. So, yeah, I will just think of getting better every second I'm living on this earth.
So let me ask you this. You go number one. Simon goes number two. What does that mean for hockey in Slovakia to have the first two picks in the NHL draft be from your country?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. I think out of 5 million people, 4.5 are awake and are cheering for us, and we needed this in Slovakia.
You had breakfast with the Canadian brass this morning? This morning? What was that like? Did they say at the time that they were going to choose you number one? What was the conversation?
Actually, we were just talking about my game style and going through some things, and they didn't show anything like... They just said that they are impressed, and they said good luck to me.
Yeah.
And I'm with them now.
Did you meet with Vinny LeCavalier? Was he part of the meeting?
Yeah.
So he was a first overall pick. You're now a first overall pick. What did he say to you, you know, as far as advice or what to expect, anything like that?
Nothing so far. Maybe in close future he will say something to me.
But at the meeting, when you had a meeting with them, did he say anything about what you could be expecting if they picked you?
No.
Jonathan Drouin and two players from the Canadians on the ice for the clinic there with you.
Yeah.
Did you talk to them about, you know, what went on and what it's like to play for Montreal? Did they give you any feedback at all?
No, actually, me and Nick Suzuki, we talk about Tomáš Tatar buying Lamborghini, so nothing together with hockey.
Thanks, Yuri Slavkovsky, for coming on today with us at NHL Draft Class.
Thank you very much.
You know, Mike, when you look at it, Slavkovsky, you know, there was no wrong choice for the Canadians, right?
No.
They take Shane Wright, he's the center they need. They take Cooley, he's the center they need. They take Slavkovsky, he's the size, big, talented, scoring winger that any team would need. So as much as we were maybe surprised by the selection, it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, and similar to the Devils in some way, right, Adam? It's like the Canadians are a smaller-sized offensive team, so they're looking for those big players as well to maybe help bolster their offense, and Slavkovsky is the guy. He was the guy. If you wanted size, you wanted a player that's going to be in the NHL, if not this year, most definitely a season from now, this is the guy you wanted to pick. And, you know, in our interview with him, I thought he was great. You know, he didn't really think that he was going to maybe be that number one pick. He says, I didn't even hear my name being called. I looked up at the scoreboard and saw pictures. You heard the word Slovakia. I knew something was up. And he said he was like shaking and he had goosebumps. And it was an unbelievable moment for him and an unbelievable moment for hockey in Slovakia.
Oh, absolutely.
How far it's come. And it didn't end there.
Yeah, number two. So, you know, we talked about Slavkovsky going number one, and then we knew whoever went number one, we knew there would be a trickle-down effect. And when they took Slavkovsky, you knew, well, something strange is going to happen. And you look at New Jersey, they have those three big centers that we've talked about, Hughes and Heischer and Mercer. Would they take another center? Would they try to move one of those guys to the wing? They also need a defenseman. Simon Nemec was a little bit of a surprise at number two. Obviously, it's an area of need for the Devils, but you know they had maybe could they have done a something different there? Tried drafting Wright, tried drafting Cooley, move somebody to the wing. But Nemec, great for Slovakia hockey, great for the Devils because he's a guy who we project. I think at least if not this season, next season. We talked to him. He said he feels like he could be NHL ready as soon as this season.
He could be NHL ready. He's going to be going to rookie camp. And the thing is that I kind of had that feeling too, that if Slavkovsky was going to go one to the Canadians, that all of a sudden things were going to go haywire here. And there was a real good possibility that the Devils would take the right-handed D. Tom Fitzgerald is obviously building something from the back end here, Adam. Obviously they need some goaltending to focus on free agency, but the back end looks really, really good now. You got Luke Hughes coming in a year. Simon Nemec could be joining him at the same time. The Devils look extremely, extremely well-balanced there on the back end.
Well, we had a chance to catch up with Nemec after you selected. Well, let's hear what Simon had to say about his selection at number two.
So, Simon, when your name is called by the Devils, number two in the draft, what's going through your mind? What are your feelings?
I was a little bit surprised, but really, really proud about me and about my family and other people who helped me.
Did you have any thought that New Jersey could be that high on you? They could like you that much that they take you number two?
Oh, I had only one meeting with the New Jersey at Combine. When I heard Yura's name, I was a little bit nervous because I know New Jersey need. Defensemen, no centers.
that was my question. When you hear you're a selected number one by Montreal, what's going through your mind? Is it like, what's going to happen next?
I imagined in my mind. He's number one, and I can be number two, and great night in Slovak and for me and for Juraj and for everybody in Slovakia.
What does it mean for Slovakian hockey to have the first two players in the draft come from your country?
Yeah, we will see next couple of days because really, really exciting year because we won bronze medal. We were second in Hlinka Gretzky, and now first overall, second overall, historic.
What's next on the agenda for Simon Nemitz? Are you going to Jersey for a rookie camp? Will you compete in the World Junior Championship in August? What's on the agenda for you?
I think I will go to the development camp and we will see next.
Do you think you're ready to jump into an NHL lineup this season? Are you ready?
I hope a couple games.
Is the Canadian Hockey League in your future? Would you want to play in the Canadian Hockey League?
Maybe American Hockey League, I think.
Simon, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Thank you so much.
So, Adam, the Devils get their right-handed defenseman, and now we're all wondering, right, when is Shane Wright going to go here? We're already at pick number 3. The Arizona Coyotes are in a position to maybe could take a Shane Wright. You can also take a Logan Cooley.
And they opted for Cooley, obviously. It was a little bit of a surprise with Shane Wright still on the board, all the things that he brings to the game. But obviously they opted for Cooley, who has that maybe a little bit of a higher offensive upside. You know, he's got more of a dynamic presence, the skating, the skill set. That's sort of more of apparently what they're looking for. You know, Arizona's well-known scoring issues. Obviously, Cooley's not going to help that next season, but we've talked to him enough, and he doesn't think he's going to need long before he's NHL ready. One season at University of Minnesota, right into the Arizona lineup. I don't know if the Coyotes are subscribing to that plan, but he certainly has the confidence to do it, and I wouldn't doubt him. You look at where he is and what he was able to accomplish this season with the U.S. national team. Why would you bet against him?
Yeah. I mean, he had a nice sit-down, he said, with the Arizona Coyotes at the Combine, you know, heading into the NHL draft, met with them. He had a good feeling about the Arizona Coyotes, and he's thrilled. He'll be playing with a Clayton Keller. He'll be playing with a Josh Doan perhaps sometime down the road.
Dylan Gunther.
So, obviously, Arizona has something going here, and to get a Logan Cooley into the lineup at some point after, you know, he'll play 1-2 seasons at the University of Minnesota, and he'll be ready to go. But we did get a chance to speak with Logan Cooley as well after he was selected by Arizona at number 3. What are the feelings when you heard your name called?
So many mixed emotions. It still felt like a dream. But to be able to have my family here and celebrate with them and, you know, to be able to get drafted by Arizona, I feel like they have such a bright future, and I'm super pumped to be a part of it.
What do you know about the guys that you could potentially end up playing with? Do you have any relationship with any of the guys in the team? Clayton Keller, I know, is a national team alum.
I don't know anyone personally. I've played against guys like Doan, then Lipkin too, he's also there. And then obviously guys like Keller, Dylan Gunther too. And they have such a bright future, and I can't wait to get started with them.
What was your thought process, or what were you thinking when, Juraj gets selected 1 and then Simon Nemitz 2? What's going through your mind there? Is it like, wow, what's going on? Was it a surprise at all to you?
I think, with this draft, no one really knows what was going to happen. So, it's not like I wasn't expecting it. I knew if Arizona was going to get the pick, I felt comfortable because I had a chance to meet with them a good amount and go out to dinner with them. And, I felt a really good connection with them. So, I'm super pumped.
That was going to be my question. Did you have a clue, a vibe through any meetings going back to the Combine or maybe even before that until they called your name that they would be the team that was most interested in you?
Just with meeting with them and, having dinner, that's a team that I thought was most interested in me. But before the pick, I had no idea or until they announced it officially. So, like I said, I'm super pumped to be a part of them, and, I can't wait to get started.
Logan, is there any significance to being the highest Pittsburgh area player selected in an NHL draft? Is there significance to that for you?
For sure. I mean, you think of the guys that have come out of there, guys like John Gibson, Vincent Trocheck, JT Miller, to be a part of that list and to be the highest one out of any of them is really special, and I'm so happy to be a part of Pittsburgh and to be from there.
So next for you is University of Minnesota. I know we talked about this at the Combine. We had you on NHL Draft Class, but how long do you think you need before we see you in that Coyotes jersey full time?
I think personally, I have the skills and the work ethic and skating to play in the NHL now. I think it's just going to come down to my physical strength. If that means a year at Minnesota to continue to get stronger, I'll do that. But I'm confident that I can make the jump too.
So you go number 3, Cutter goes number 5 to the Philadelphia Flyers. That's 2 guys from your program in the top 5. There could be a lot more that goes. What does it say about your team and the program itself to see all these guys with first round grades, first round possible, 2 in the top 5?
I think, with the NTDP, you look at the guys that come from there, Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane, you know, list goes on. And then, you know, with I think the team we had, we're so well coached. You know, we were such a powerhouse of a team. We all had such a good work ethic.
Did you get any texts immediately when your name was called? A lot of friends, family, any NTTP members?
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to look at my phone yet. I can feel it buzzing right now. But, you know, we had a big watch party back home in Pittsburgh because, you know, not everyone could come with all the, you know, different vaccines and, you know, the travel with flights getting canceled. So, but I'm super happy to have everyone here and, you know, I'm really pumped.
What do you remember most about this whole experience?
I'd say just having it with my family. I mean, you know, with my, especially my parents, they've taken me so many places. You know, hockey's so busy all the time. And, you know, for it to finally, you know, that's something that we've looked forward to for so long, especially during the past 2 years at the NTDP. So for it to finally be here is pretty special.
What do you know about Arizona? Have you ever been there? Did you ever vacation there or play games there against Arizona State?
No, I actually haven't been there. My family has been there, you know, a good amount. They told me nothing but great things. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting there.
So maybe one day, you're not in the same conference, but maybe one day you will have a chance to play against Alex Ovechkin. How special would that be?
That would be extremely special. I feel like, you know, lining up next to him would be, you know, a dream of mine, and, you know, it wouldn't feel real either. You know, he's a guy that, you know, I've watched since I was a little kid and would be pretty special too.
Yeah. Logan Cooley, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Yep, thanks for having me.
So Logan Cooley goes to the Arizona Coyotes. Now we're at number four, Seattle Kraken. Where is Shane Wright going to go? Because Seattle took the big center last year with Matty Beniers, the foundational piece. Logic sort of dictates maybe they go defenseman here. David Juracek's on the board. You know, he has the size, right-handed shot that you think maybe they're looking for. But is Shane Wright too much to pass on? Apparently he was, because they wasted no time going up there and saying, Shane Wright's our guy.
The Seattle Kraken are in no position to kind of think things over, mull this over, and say, we need this position or this position. They're in their second year of existence. They need to be taking, at this high in the draft, Adam, need to be taking the best available player, and the best available right here, no question, was Shane Wright, and they made the right pick.
Yeah, 100%. He gives you, he checks a lot of those boxes that, look, they're a young team, they're looking to build, and you saw what Matty Beniers did this season in the couple of games he was able to play coming out of Michigan. I think it was 10 points in 9 games. He looks like a guy you can build around, and now you've got Shane Wright. Championship teams are built through the middle of the ice. Mm-hmm. Well, now you've got Matty Beniers at 19 or 20 years old. You've got an 18-year-old Shane Wright. That's a heck of a foundation you have in place. Now, obviously, Seattle's not ready to compete for a playoff spot probably for another season or two, but that's when those guys are going to be hitting the prime of their careers in another couple of seasons, and they're just going to continue to build around those guys. So I like the pick. I thought it was, you know, great asset management for them to have arguably the best player in the draft just land right in their laps.
I tell you, Shane Wright has the skills and the ability on the ice. In our interview with him after he's taken four, you talk about character, you talk about being a humble, honest player. I mean, Shane Wright was all over. I mean, I really enjoyed our interview with him after he was selected.
Yeah, it was really impressive. The poise he showed after what could have been, you know, maybe a little bit of a difficult situation. But we talked to Shane after he got selected. Let's hear Shane in his own words. So, Shane, take us through the moments there as the picks are coming off the board. What's going through your mind? Take us through your mindset.
I think that maybe a little bit of disappointment. Obviously, you know, going to the draft, you always want to be that number one guy. You always want to be the first guy chosen. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not my decision, not my choice. So I think that, you know, once I heard my name called by Seattle, couldn't be happier, couldn't be more excited to be part of this organization. I think that they have a really good future ahead. I think that they have a lot of good prospects and, you know, great coaching staff as well and great fan base. So I think just, you know, really excited to be here.
Kind of give you a little bit incentive, motivation to, you're laughing, but to work, to really show that, hey, you know, you might have made a mistake here.
Yeah, for sure it does. I think that definitely, you know, puts a little chip on my shoulder, gives me a little more motivation to, you know, to succeed and to, you know, to be, you know, the guy that I believe I can be. But like I said, you know, there's no disappointment for me. I think that it's all just pride, all honored, and just, you know, super excited to be part of the organization.
So the flip side of maybe not going number one is you get to go to a market that's still brand new, that's still developing. You can have a huge role in the foundation of what could become, you know, a great franchise. Does that add a little bit to it, that you saw what they did last year? They draft Matty Beniers. They had a, you know, a decent season out there. Season number two, you could be a part of the next step for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a great fit for me. I think I can really see myself, being that lineup. And like you said, they're a new franchise, so I think I'll really have a lot of opportunities to play and hopefully play soon. And I believe that I can play. I think that playing next year and playing with them and being a high end player and difference maker on the team is where I want to be. So I think it's a really good fit, and just really happy to be there.
Was your phone blowing up with text messages, and was there any particular text that you'd like to share that from a player, an NHL player, or someone in particular?
Yeah, kind of cool. I got a text from Mitch Marner, actually, just saying congrats. He was, I think he was also a fourth overall pick. So he said, just congrats, go enjoy it, and take that as a little motivation as well. So
obviously you want to play in the NHL next season. What do you have to do between now and the start of training camp to cement a spot on the Kraken roster next season?
Yeah, I just got to work harder. I think that I just got to understand the game. I think I got to understand the NHL game and what it takes to play there and play at that level and to be a difference maker at that level. I think that I have a lot of good raw skills, and I have a good I'm a smart player as well. So I think that it'll be a little adjustment at the start, but I think that if I put a lot of good work in the summer, maybe gain some weight, maybe gain some physicality and all that, and you just kind of adjust the speed a little bit, I think that I can be there.
I'm just curious. I know you were sitting beside Juraj when the names were being called. When you heard his name go first, and you guys are good friends now, what's going through your mind? What maybe did you say to him?
Yeah, I said, heck of a job, man. Go kill it there. You deserve it. That's what I said to him. I think that, I got to know him pretty well. Obviously, we toured New Jersey as well together, and then, got to, talk to him a whole lot here the last couple of days. So, super proud for him, super proud of what he's accomplished. And, that's what I said. I just said, go kill it. You're going to be great there. And, congrats.
When you finally did hear your name called, it looks like maybe mom or dad or someone said a little something to you. Can you share just sort of what they said to you?
Yeah, my dad said, We love Seattle. He said we wanted Seattle. He said it's just kind of quick. He said it's a good spot to be. He said my agent said that as well. He said it's a good spot to be. And I also said maybe it's a little extra motivation. Said a little chip on my shoulder, like I said before. But my dad said we're pretty excited about that for sure.
How about your grandparents were here with
yeah.
you?
Yes, they are. Yeah,
they must have been thrilled, huh?
Yeah, I haven't actually got a chance to talk to them. Hopefully I can you'll see them in the next couple minutes here. But, I think they'll be pretty excited as well. Yeah.
Was Coach Hakstol at the table?
He was, yeah.
Did you have a chance to talk to him? And did he give you any words of advice, any kind of any quick mentions of things you might have he wants to see from you between now and training camp?
Yeah, he said, he's happy for me to be there. He said he's really excited for me, part of the organization. He said they're really happy that, they're able to select me and that, I'm now a Seattle Kraken. So, I couldn't agree more. He also said, it's a great fit. He said, they're really excited for me to be there. So, just really excited as well for it.
One more for me. What are you going to take away from this week, this experience, Shane?
I think that it's it's a dream come true. It's something that, like I said, I've been working for my whole life. It's finally, I finally accomplished that goal of mine to be drafted. And just kind of, just soak in every second of this, just soak in every moment of the draft and what comes along with being here. So I think that's, the biggest thing I'll take away.
Shane Wright, thank you so very much for joining us on NHL Draft Class, and congratulations on the big night.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That was great to hear from Shane. And I guess it was sort of destined, right? His socks were Kraken colored.
Kraken colored. That was outstanding.
Yeah. So it just, like, as he said, meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that interview too, right, Adam, we're talking about it. So candid, asking him about, and Shane Wright and Juraj Slafkovský were sitting together in the stands as Slafkovský was being announced. And I asking Shane, what was it like? What did you say to him? I said to him, go kill it, man. This is you. You've earned this. You deserve it. Go do the best you can. I thought that was fantastic to hear that from a player that, let's face it, and Juraj even said that, like, for the past two and a half years, he's been the projected number one pick here. And as you said, Adam, a little bit of a disappointment, but overall, this might be the best spot for Shane Wright.
Yep.
Not a lot of pressure here. We know what he's capable of doing, the type of player he is, very methodical on the ice, a thinking type player, real good smarts, IQ. Sky's the limit for Shane Wright, and who knows, maybe he will be playing on with the team next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't doubt it. But, this was pretty much, we talked about this when we started, the volatility, the unpredictability of this, all the trades. all the surprises, it's hard to pinpoint one or two things that stood out to you tonight. But when you go home from here, what are you going to think of when you think about kind of what went on here tonight? Were there any? I guess the better question is, what was there a surprise moment for you?
There were a few. I mean, there were a few good ones. You know, first of all, and you mentioned the trades. There were 7 trades overall today. 5 trades made during the course of the first round. So a lot of transactions made. You know, that was a lot of fun. The fact that 6 National Team Development Program players were selected. The record was 8, so we came 2 short in the first round. But to have 6 players from the program selected, second highest total in history for the program, I thought that was fantastic. 3 Slovakia players chosen in the first round. That's another record, not to mention numbers 1 and 2.
So I can't even imagine what the partying must be like, because it's a big deal. Like, they won their first Olympic medal in men's hockey this year. Now they've got the number 1 and the number 2 picks in the draft, 3 overall. So that's great. To me, look at Chicago, right? When we woke up this morning, they did not have a pick in the first round.
Nada.
They ended up with number 7, Kevin Korchinski, the defenseman from Seattle. Number 13, Frank Nazar from the U.S. national team, the center. And then at number 25, Sam Rinzel, the high school defenseman. I mean, I know they gave up a lot to get those picks, and there's going to be some patience Blackhawks fans are going to have. But, you know, you look at the skill set Korchinski has, how he just got better and better and better as the season went along. He played high-intensity games with Seattle, getting to the Western League Finals. Nazar, you know, all the international experience he has, playing at the under-18s, he's going to have a chance to play at the World Juniors coming up here. He's going to go to college and continue that development. And Sam Rinzel, like, listen, a 6'4" right shot defenseman who still has another season of high school eligibility left. He's going to play for Waterloo in the U.S. League. Then he's going to go to the University of Minnesota. That's a growth stock right there, right?
Yep.
That's a guy that you look to maybe be. I mean, look, you've got your potential top defense pair 3 seasons from now for a decade out. Korchinski on the left, Rinzel on the right, one big, strong physical, the other high-end offensive upside. You know, yeah, the next couple seasons project to be rough because you don't have Alex DeBrincat. You don't have Kirby Dach. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, what happens with them? So maybe it's not going to be the smoothest of sailing in the short term, but in the long term, I really like what they did. And if these guys hit, I think the Blackhawks fans have something really big to look forward to.
And one other thing in the first round, we I would be remiss if I didn't mention it. You know, Marty St. Louis.
Oh my goodness!
The house was incredible. Number 1 from the get go. But when Marty St. Louis took the podium, I mean, the standing ovation, the cheers. It was like one of those international soccer games. The fans were going rowdy. It took me 47 years, right?
Yeah.
For me to be at my first draft, which was incredible stuff. And then he also had a nice message for the kids who might not be drafted today or tomorrow.
Right. You know, and he's the poster child for that, right? Didn't get drafted. Never got drafted anywhere by any league in any level.
Right.
He said, look, it's not the end of the road. If you want it bad enough, you can get there.
Listen,
he's in the Hall of Fame because was he the most skilled player ever? No, but you find me anyone who worked harder when he was on the ice than Marty St. Louis. He is a self-made guy who was overlooked, underappreciated, waived, traded, given away. Now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And listen, you had however many thousands of people were here tonight ready to run through a wall for that guy, right?
Yeah, they were.
They're chanting, Marty, they're chanting, ole, ole, ole.
Yeah.
He almost didn't get a chance to talk because the crowd was so loud.
Yeah.
He was just soaking it all in, and I don't blame him.
Said thank you, like, you know, 5 to 7, 10 times before they finally quieted down and he was able to say his spiel. But now, first round's done. It was fantastic, Adam, but we have rounds 2 through 7 coming up. So that's another thing that we're really looking forward to. There are plenty of players here. I think there's going to be a lot more of those, maybe those 19-year-olds, those overage players that we might see go maybe, you know, mid-third round. We didn't see a goalie drafted in the first round for the first time in 4 years. So
right.
Maybe most likely in the third round, maybe late second, third, fourth round, we'll start seeing the goalies going here as well. So it's going to be an interesting second day.
Yeah, I think. And one more note on the first day that really stood out to me was Ivan Marochnichenko. went number 20 to Washington. He's a guy who, if you're not familiar with his story, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in February, was projected to be a top five pick when the season started, but you know he the cancer really left a lot of question marks. But we talked to Ross Mahoney, the Capitals' assistant general manager. He said we had all the medical records. Our medical people were okay with it. He met with Ivan in Germany during the World Under 18 Championship. Mm-hmm. They're happy with where he is physically. I talked to Ivan. He said, look, there's still some work to be done to get my body back to where it was. But Ross said even from meeting him with the under-18s in April to where he is now, you can see he's already put some of that weight back on. He's been on the ice a little bit. He's going to go to Capitals development camp. You know, I don't know if he's going to take part in the rookie scrimmage or not, but he's going to be there. He's going to get kind of initiated into their system, their style of play. And look, if you're a Russian-born player, there is not a better NHL team to land with. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Orlov, Samsonov, Alexiev. You know, there's a lot of guys there for a support group for a young Russia-born player. And I think it's the perfect destination for him. I don't know when he's going to be ready to come over. He said his plan is next season to play with Omsk. He expects to be in their lineup opening night. There's a lot of road for him to go, but that could be maybe the steal of the first round.
It was great to see him too, right? When he came into our room, we spoke to him a little bit. He was excited, the smile on his face, something positive for the kid for a change, right? After everything he's gone through. So, you know, a real, you know, a credit to Ivan and what he's gone through and now what we foresee in the future, what it might be for him. But he was the second of three Russian-born players chosen in the first round. And I think there's going to be plenty more, right, Adam, on day two. And we're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, we've got a lot more to go here with day two, rounds 2 through 7 tomorrow. Stay tuned for that on the NHL Network. ESPN Plus starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.